Stress is the spice of life in moderation. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. Stress is the spice of life in moderation. We all like spice on our food. I like it in great moderation. In fact, very seldom do I like spice on my food. A little bit of salt or pepper. But other than that, spice is not my choice. But spice in the life of most people is a very important part of their meal. I enjoy watching people as they cook. They reach up in the cupboard and they take the spice canisters and they shake it on their food and they shake it on their food and they shake it on their food and then they cook it. And when they're done cooking, I taste it. I cannot taste any of the spices. All the spices are evaporated or gone. They're not there. And so the benefit of them is not there. Now, some people take spices and they put it on after the food is cooked, and they put it on in moderation, and I guess it would be pretty good. I don't choose to do that. But I imagine it's pretty good. And others, they put it on in abundance because they feel that it's the last time they're going to have it. And it always reminds me of Stephen Stressley when he first came to campus 100 years ago. He was introduced to ketchup for the first time. And he took ketchup and poured it into a spoon and ate it with great gusto because it was really a treat for him. Stress is the spice of life in moderation. When I say, "Ingeborg," and she looks at me and she says, "What did I do now?" And I say, "You are gorgeous." And she says, "Oh, all right." She had a little stress there for a moment, wondering what I was going to say. And then it became a delightful spice when I said, "You're wonderful." You see, we can all look at all stress that comes our way as something beneficial to us, not necessarily something that's a kick in the tail, you know. It could be something very lovely because, well, it's just like Heinz and I were talking about living and dying today. And we were talking about death and how it's no big deal to die. It's no big deal to live. But live joyously, as long as you're alive, enjoy it, and live in a healthy body. And I said, well, a person who really enjoys life, a person who really likes life and who really knows who he is, that person chooses to die in a very inobvious way. They just sort of disappear. They don't need to have death and burial. They don't need to have pain and illness and accident to put them away. They just move on to their next dimension joyously and happily, sometimes not even telling the family that they're going, you know, and they're gone. And the family says, "Where'd they go? Where'd Dad go? You know, where'd Uncle George go?" and stuff like that. You know, "Where'd Matilda go?" And then everybody says, "Well, you know them. They're always doing their thing. That's their spice of life. That's their joy." Now, what spice of life have you been giving to yourself in moderation that has made you feel nice? That's called a stress. What sort of stresses do you do? Well, now, every person who exercises stresses. You bring your arm back, you're stressing your muscles and relaxing other muscles. You bring it forward, and you're stressing other muscles and relaxing other muscles. Every time you open your mouth, blah, 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 you're stressing muscles and relaxing muscles. Every time you blink your eye, which is frequently, you're stressing muscles and relaxing muscles. Everything about your body is stress, relax, stress, relax, stress, relax, or tension, relax. Not tension, stress, you know, the words go together. You look them up in the dictionary, they all sort of come out of the same pocket. But stress in moderation is the spice of life. And so when you blink your eyes just gently, That's lovely. When you blink your eyes, you know, or you're in a dust storm and you know, you're blinking your eyes a lot to blink the sand out of your eyes, then that's not pleasant. That's a stress situation. And we want to do everything we can to keep ourselves from super stress situations, because they don't achieve anything for us. All they do is make our body system out of order. You might say cancer comes from a stress situation. The body is stressed in some way. And I've given this illustration so many times, I think that you probably think that I don't know any others. I probably don't. But think about it. I come up to Sylvia, and she's sitting there peacefully listening to me. And I take my fist and I ram it into her face. I don't touch her, but I ram it into her face. And Sylvia, you know, gets a little tense. She's stressed. Her body is all tightened up. Well, just for a moment, just an instant. She knows I'm not going to do it, but she still gets stressed because it's a natural thing to do. And every one of those stresses has taken all of the little producing devices in her body that give out sort of substances that help the body flow beautifully and operate beautifully, and she turns them off. Turn them all off, if only for a second, but all off. And then they come on again, and then they come on in a force. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, I'm running again. And so everything starts to function again. And then something else comes along, and I say, Sylvia, watch it, watch it, watch it. The sky is falling in. And Sylvia looks up to the sky. That sky's not falling in. April Fool, you know. And you say, thanks a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. So meanwhile, all of her glands and all of her issues in her body are all tightened up, and she's all out of whack. And I do that to her day after day after day. Little frightful things that frighten her, and I have other people do it too. I'm just trying to drive her mad. And so, in a very short time, Sylvia has cells in her body that forget what they're supposed to do. And they go crazy. And that's called a cancer cell. It doesn't know what to do. Now, it could be called that from stress of that nature, or it could become that from other things. From other things where we are doing things to our body, we are having mean thoughts, we're having hateful thoughts about other people. And that's a good way to get cancer going in our body, to have all hateful thoughts, to have all this attitude about other people, going around looking at the world, at its problems, and saying, gee, there's a war, and there's this, and there's that, and the Greenpeace thing going on, and all that sort of stuff. My goodness sakes, you know, what a interesting thing to do to yourself. Well, fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
No.
Not really.
I think so. In the National Geographic, they have an article about five idiots who are paid by some company to go down and investigate an underground series of caves and water and so forth. It's in a very difficult place. They had to come in with a helicopter and be dropped on the side of the mountain. Then they had to rappel into the cave on the top of the mountain, and out of it came a great waterfall. And the waterfall is filled with toxic water, very toxic water. Apparently the waterfall runs through minerals that are toxic and putting toxicity into the water. And then these guys go in there with their masks on, and sometimes not, and they slosh through the water, you know, and they get it on them, and they go into the cave, and they have lights that they take pictures, you know, make the cave all light up inside, and then they rappel across the water, and then they go into other areas, They're not breathing comfortably, and they're not doing anything comfortably. And I wonder why they even bother to come out, you know, just stay in there and disintegrate. But they come out. Now, They have put their body in jeopardy. Agent Orange, used in the Korean War, or whatever war it was not a very nice thing. It caused men to have difficulty with their bodies because they breathed this Agent Orange, which caused them to have all sorts of health problems. Well, now, these men are going to have all sorts of health problems because they purposely put themselves in a stressful situation. Now, the stressful situation is knowing that they're breathing that stuff, knowing that they're sloshing in it, and then the further stressful thing is, what is going to be the repercussions when they come out? Now, you say, well, Herb, why did you have to tell that story? Well, it's in a current issue of the Reader's Digest, the National Geographic, and it is graphically done, beautifully done. The pictures are gorgeous, you know, waterfall, magnificent, coming down from heaven virtually, you know, and splashing all over the place. And these men went in there. And could what would you pay a person to go in and do something like that? Now, I can see my brother going in and doing something like that, wearing his undersea diving suit, you know, that big suit they pump air into and stuff like that, and it's impervious to chemicals and other things, and go in there like that. I can see that. It's a possibility. But to let their body breathe it through the skin and splash water on it, you know, why do we do things? Now, that's a purposely done thing. Oh, we'll be hearing about them, probably, about what has happened to them and how they're responding to it. Of course, maybe they put the cause in motion saying, I am surrounded by my pure white light of love and nothing can touch me. But what is it also that we read in the Bible? It says, do not flaunt God. Do not flaunt the law. Do not misuse the principle or the law. It's just like people in the South, they read where no one can be injured if they believe in God and they can play with snakes and not be injured. Well, their game is to play with snakes, poisonous snakes in the South. And people get bit and die from it. And still they go on playing with poisonous snakes. Well, why do people do these things? You know, fascinating. Why do people stress themselves when they know that it's causing disease and illness in their body? Why don't we just say, peace, wonderful peace. Ellen, let me tell you about the war. Ellen says, isn't peace wonderful? But Ellen, don't you know about the war? I think that if we can live in peace, there now is peace on earth and it began with me. But Ellen, I want to tell you that then there's peace everywhere because it began with me. But Ellen, you're not listening to me. Oh, are you getting a message? You know, you take your story of war and throw it in the trash where it belongs. But Ellen, this is important. These people are misusing these people, and these people are doing that to those people. And those people. Ellen says, look, if you want to stick your nose in other people's business, you go right ahead. If you really want to stick your nose in other people's business, you just tell them the worst thing you can tell them on the face of the earth. There now is peace on earth, and it began with me. And there is no war. There is no conflict. There is no problem. You see, those are things that we can do. Those are things, causes we can put in motion. But no, you want to look at the unfortunate qualities of things and then wonder why the unfortunate qualities exacerbate themselves and continue to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. It is absolutely irrational, stupid, and unreasonable, and certainly not something an intelligent person would want to do. But every person who talks about war thinks they're intelligent. And all they're doing is using too much spice in their food. Stress is the spice of life in moderation. And if these people want that sort of a life, then go for it. Why is it that we look at the gurus and say, aren't they wonderful, peaceful people? Why is it we look at the monks and the religious people who go off to their monasteries and their convents and their chapels and their places? Why is it? Yeah, in the, I think it was the First World War, when it came Easter, or not Easter time, when it came Christmas time, everybody ceased fighting for one day. Isn't that interesting? How interesting. I mean, that they could respect it for that, respect it totally, no fighting at all, you know? Mm-hmm. And the person you're killing is your own brother, because in America here, everybody has come from foreign extract, and so likely your brother's still living in a foreign country that you're at war with, you know? And what a terrible thing to have to fight your own brother who didn't do anything and you didn't do anything. It's just the politicians of this government are making these wars and making these, putting their nose in other people's business. So stress is the spice of life in moderation. And so, yeah, stress your muscles as you swim. Stress your heart as you jog along and enjoy yourself. I told my doctor, I said, I enjoy jogging for maybe a quarter mile every once in a while in the morning, you know. He says, you jog? He says, don't you realize what you're going to do to your knees and your feet? And I said, what? What school are you from, doctor? I didn't say that. But I said, oh, I do it gently, you know. I said, well, that's good. But, you know, there are so many schools. One school says jog, the other school says don't jog. The other, one school says walk carefully on your knees, the other school says exercise your knees. And, you know, what are you going to do? I have it on the highest authority from one of the books that I have read on blood, not sugar, but blood something or other.
Pressure.
Huh?
Blood pressure.
Not, blood pressure, is that as fun? That you should eat one or more eggs every day with the yolk. And then I've been another book put out by the my HML, and it says you should eat no more than 2 eggs a week, you know. And then some of them, which one are you going to believe? Mm-hmm. You just have to follow your own heart and do what you're comfortable doing. And I usually eat an egg and an egg yolk a day, and I'm very happy about it. But if my doctor said don't, I wouldn't. But happily, he hasn't. I didn't ask him. But I tell him what I do. I tell him what I eat, and he said, "You're amazing. You have the perfect diet." You know, and I said, "I'm still working on it."
Because yeah. I have the perfect cook.
Well, I didn't tell him that. I don't want him to come and grab you away from me. You know? But stress is the spice of life in moderation. Let's not make our body fight to live. Let's make the stress just the wonderful little spice that adds a little bit of snap and flavor to it, but not to make us have problems. So this is what I say to you, and that's what you say to me, and we say to each other. So enjoy yourself and have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.